This is Building Bridges with Kim Nash and Mimi Rosenberg, the Workers' Advice Center, WAC, a new unionism developing in Israel after a decade of organizing Palestinian workers in the West Bank settlements.
With Asaf Adiv, who is the national organizer of the independent union WACMA. He's been an active member in the movement against the oppression of Palestinians and the struggle for workers' rights since the 1970s. During this time, he worked as a journalist in the Arabic Hebrew newspaper Tariq al-Shiraza and spent 18 months in jail on political charges along with three other editors of the paper. He's a leading member of the left Marxist-oriented Dayim Workers' Party.
WAC has established itself as a responsible and determined workers' organization ready to fight relentlessly for Palestinian workers' rights. WAC is becoming a significant player in the industrial relations arena in Israel. It gives a voice to young people, women and men, both Arabs and Jews, people who have lost their dignity as well as their rights in a state that worships capital and neglects labor. WAC works to give a voice to the forces currently not represented. It is convinced that there are opportunities for the working class and Arab workers to rise out of passivity and despair. And now, Asaf Adiv.
It's a great honor to meet you in person. Let's begin with the context in which you are doing your organizing. The latest plan that has come forward from the United States, which shared your thoughts about the plan of the century.
It's a pleasure and honor to be on your program, and we follow your work on workers' rights, human rights, progressive struggles in the U.S. and around the world for years. I'm really happy to share with you some of the experiences, and we are talking here in CUNY, where I'm going to present the results of a decade of effort by our union to organize Palestinian workers in the settlements and to organize also Palestinian workers who are working inside Israel. When we talk about the political background that is taking place now since the Trump administration started its job in 2016, and especially now with the deal of the century, where the American administration is standing behind an annexationist policy by the Israeli state. The economic promise of $28 billion for Palestine and $22 billion for the other countries, but still it's an empty promise, because politically speaking, the deal of the century is very clear attempt to finalize the political situation as it is now, to make the occupation and the fact that Palestinians live under autonomy as a second class or third class citizens under Israeli control will be eternalized, will be actually asking the Palestinian leadership to accept a situation of apartheid. They are saying that they will talk about the political situation later. They are doing the political situation. They are forcing for with the moving of the embassy last May to Jerusalem, announcing that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, disregarding completely the rights of the Palestinian for the capital as Jerusalem. They are actually talking about money, but in the last 2 years they cut all the money of support to the Palestinian, for the Palestinian refugees, cutting the American support to the UNRWA, which is the agency of the UN that supports Palestinian refugees. So actually we're in a situation where Trump's instrument of putting pressure and actually blackmailing countries all over the world, economically, Iran, Mexico, is being used against the Palestinian Authority in order to force upon them to accept this kind of humiliating and unacceptable setup. And this creates a situation for people on the ground where people feel that nothing is going to change for the foreseeable future. We are in a situation where nothing is going to change for the better. As we waited for years and years for agreements, for negotiations, Kerry was there, and Clinton was there, and Bush was there, and everybody was talking about the solution, two-state solution. This is finished. We don't have a two-state solution. We don't have a solution. We don't have a political solution. We are there with an apartheid system, and we have to fight it.
What is the position of the Palestinian workers, both in the West Bank and in Israel with Israeli employers.
This should be seen in a relative to what they have if they are going, if at ever they find a job in the Palestinian areas in the West Bank, not to speak about Gaza, where situation is unbearable. But if you talk about the West Bank, West Bank minimum wage is $400 a month. The minimum wage in Israel is $1,500 a month, 4.5 times higher to work in Israel. It means the pressure of Palestinian workers to go and work in Israel or in Israeli settlements is really very, very strong. Eventually, people want to leave. And if there are no jobs or jobs with such a low level of payment, it's clear why people would want to go to Israel. Now, in the beginning, you get a better salary. You say, well, I don't get my social rights, but still, it's better. But it takes a while, after 1 year and 5 years and 10 years, and no political solution, and the employer cheats you. The employer promised you to pay 5,000 shekels, but he pays you 4,500. So it's cheating you, as it cheats you again and again on the extra hours. It's cheating you when you are sick. It's cheating you when you have an accident in the job. He doesn't pay you. When he sees that you are starting to ask for some things, so he says to you, well, go home. After 7 years, no compensation, no procedures, no defense. So workers are becoming to feel that they are frustrated and they want to see how they can fight for their rights. As Wak Ma'an, we are working on a situation where Palestinian workers from Ramallah or from Jericho, when they go to Israel and they have a problem with the employer, eventually they will go to the union in their town and ask for some consultation. The Palestinian union cannot give them anything because the Palestinian Union is forbidden by law to intervene in any way with the Israeli employer or Israeli labor courts or with the Israeli labor ministry. They cannot send a letter to the employer. They cannot organize the workers. They cannot be recognized. They cannot announce a strike. They cannot make a collective agreement. Israeli unions, Histadrut, is a union that is completely committed to the goals of the government. They don't care about Palestinian workers. So here you have 150,000 Palestinian workers working in Israel and in settlements with nobody to give them support, recognition, an organizing framework to make a demand on their rights, to make a strike, to make a collective agreement. And this is where we as Wak Ma'an, as an independent union registered in Israel, we can do the job, and we are doing the job. And this is a situation where we see these workers as a very dynamic and moving force towards organizing and demanding their rights.
Palestinians, are they in contention with other groups of workers brought in from abroad who actually wind up having relatively better rights than the Palestinians? And to what are the kind of jobs that are available to the Palestinian people? And also, I'm interested that you describe what is happening as apartheid.
Palestinians who live in the West Bank, under the control of the Palestinian Authority, they have an identity card of the Palestinian Authority. For them to go into Israel or into the settlements, they need a permit from the Israeli administration of the military regime. This permit is conditioned on your complete disconnection or the fact that you were not, never participated in a resistance activity against occupation. Of course, hundreds of thousands of Palestinian men and women who participated in actions of resistance, violent and non-violent, and put to jail for years, are prevented from going and working in Israel. So, but still you have many more, especially young generation, who are not. And they are allowed to get the permit. But then when you get the permit to enter Israel, you need an employer to accept you as his or her employee. The work permit is not a work permit to work in Israel. It's a work permit to work for a certain employer. And this means you are attached to this employer. And this means that if this employer doesn't like you, doesn't give you the salary properly, treats you badly, you cannot think of leaving this employer, because if you leave the employer under protest, you go to court against him, you might not get another.
It's almost a feudal relationship.
Absolutely, like the kafala in Qatar of the Indian and the Pakistani workers. People are attached to an employer. Mm-hmm. This means another thing And above this, of course, these workers are not allowed to stay in Israel in the night unless you have a permit to stay during the week. Some of them get it, but in general, they are not allowed to go to Israel on Saturday because it's not a work day. They are not allowed to be there after 10 o'clock in the night. They are allowed to go there only for work. It means they are not citizens. They are migrant workers with the worst condition of work, of living. Israel as a country is using them as relatively cheap labor force close to your door, because so you don't have to arrange for them places to sleep and to eat, whatever what you do with migrant workers usually, because they go back to their towns. And the fact that they travel 3 or 4 hours with the checkpoints, going on and back to the homes, is something that the Israeli employers don't care for. So this situation is a situation of complete vision between the Israelis and the Palestinians. If checkpoints from the West Bank to Israel are divided between checkpoints for the Israelis and checkpoints for the Palestinians, you don't go together in the same place with two gates. It's completely geographically divided between, for example, Kalandia, a checkpoint very important and central on the road from Ramallah to Jerusalem. This is the checkpoint for the Palestinians. And 5 kilometers to the east, there is the checkpoint near Pisgat Ze'ev, the Chizma checkpoint, where Israelis can just drive safely and easily there. They just check on you that you are not taking Palestinian workers with you or something else. Of course, only plates of Israeli cars with Israeli plates can go there, etc., etc. So the division is very, very clear.
And you've been also organizing workers in settlement areas in the West Bank, settlement areas that have multiple different employers in a wide diversity of fields. Could you talk about who the employers are there and what the conditions like there in the West Bank for the Palestinians working for Israeli firms there?
The settlements of the West Bank, inside the settlements and in industrial zone of the settlements and also in the farms of the settlements, employ approximately 30,000 Palestinian workers. As I mentioned before, in order for a Palestinian worker to get there, you need a permit. These places, especially the place or the area, the industrial zone that we are operating as Wak Ma'an extensively, Mishor Edomim, it's very close to the biggest settlements, Ma'ale Edomim, east of Jerusalem. It's one of the biggest ones. There's several others, industrial areas. You have there several modern companies, factories. We have organized there a garage of some 75 workers, which is considered in Israel a big garage. We are organizing there small factories, workshops. We now started an organizing campaign on a laundry with 25 workers. So we are doing small and bigger companies. It's an area where, in general, because it is outside of the sovereignty of Israel and outside of the inspection area of the Israeli government, employers felt, until recently, almost free to behave there as if it was no man's land. One of the factories that we are trying for a while to organize is a sweet factory. 150 workers exist there for 20 years. They don't give the workers pay slips. Workers actually get money as a salary, but nothing written that proves that they are working for this employer. Of course, there's no correspondence between the number of hours and the amount of money you get, and you don't have any registration of why you get the money less or more. So many of the employers, they feel they are free to behave as much as possible in an exploitative way, because, as I mentioned before, that the level of unemployment in the Palestinian areas, the level of salaries in the Palestinian areas is so low that Palestinians are ready actually to work for any kind of salary in the settlements. So you have a pressure there, as this is also a very big obstacle on organizing, because if workers are afraid of losing the job and they bring, instead of them, 1, 2, 10, 20 are ready to take the job of the worker, so the worker will be hesitant in order to risk his position and to organize.
Asaf Adiv, you're mentioning an apartheid structure. One of the things in South Africa is the South African white minority desperately needed the black labor. And that was one of the things that helped to break the back of apartheid. Eventually, the ability of the black workers to cohere and organize it. But it is my concern that what Israel is doing is, one, bringing in immigrant labor from abroad to be in contention with Palestinian labor. It needs its labor. A considerable part of the Talmudic grouping do not work at all. So it needs labor, but it's engaged in ethnic cleansing, and the question is whether or not it needs or wants Palestinian labor.
I don't believe that we are in a situation where Israel will be able to remove Palestinians from the area. The Israelis, including the military establishment of Israel, are well aware, since 1988, since the first Intifada, of the fact that Palestinians are here to stay and we must grapple with them. What you see in the last 5 years, and this is significant, in the last 5 years, actually the last attempt at negotiating agreement led by John Kerry and Obama failed in 2013-2014. Since that period, Israel allowed more and more Palestinian workers to work in Israel. If you take, for example, the Israeli construction industry, you have almost a third of the workforce, and they are the most important segment of the work of the people, workers who work on the skeleton, on the basic building of the construction industry, are Palestinians from the West Bank. So the Israeli, at least the construction industry in Israel, is seriously, very in a dramatic way, based on the work of the Palestinians. I think we are in a different situation from South Africa, economically speaking, because if we talk about the 80s and we talk about the 2020, we're talking about different economic situation, we're talking about different economic framework, we're talking about a situation where the economic importance of labor, of manual labor, is losing its force to other forms of labor, and Israel is very strong on what is called the high-tech sector and all this. So I think the organizing effort with Palestinian workers is part of a general understanding that we have to act politically, socially, to change the situation. We have to engage Israeli forces. We have to engage progressive forces that in Israel you must grapple with the situation that the Israeli extreme right wing that holds the government for 10 years created a very strong opposition of discussion, of a rejection of the perspective of Netanyahu. You have something similar here in the US. It means you have terrible right-wing, semi-fascist president, but you have a lot of people who are not very satisfied with this and they want to replace him and fight against him. If it is women, if it is blacks, if it is labor, if it is on the environmental issues, things are actually getting into a context where we must fight for changes of the situation. So what I'm projecting, we must understand that if before we thought of the situation as a situation where we are going towards an agreement where there will be a separation between a Palestinian state from the one side and an Israeli state from the other side, we are now in a completely different framework of a state that controls the West Bank and Gaza in a way that is really similar to our apartheid system. We have a one-state system which is controlled by right-wing racist, anti-Palestinian approach, and we want to change it into a democratic country that relates to any person, regardless of nationality, of religion, of political or personal affiliation. Everybody has the same rights. This is the framework of the struggle now.
What you are telling us is that the two-state solution is dead. You support a one-state solution. Where does the organization of the Palestinian workers fit into eking out democratic, human, civil rights from that one state at this point?
It is clear from our perspective that when Palestinian workers go to work in Israel and they demand their rights from an Israeli employer, if they are injured, they want to be covered by the Israeli National Insurance. And when they want to demand their rights, they are joining a union that is registered in Israel, like WAKMAN, and they are starting to fight collectively in a way that is as unions all over the world, looking at things not for my personal, individual, selfish interest, but the interest of all the workers as one. It means you create a situation where workers are moving in the direction of struggling for their rights, struggling for their dignity, creating relations with Israeli forces, and breaking all the prejudices on the Palestinian side and on the Israeli side. Now, we are, as a union, we are organizing also inside Israel. We are organizing with Jewish workers, with Jewish educators, teachers, art teachers. We just finished last year a very major attempt with an association called Hand in Hand, which teaches children in Israel in Hebrew and Arabic, both languages, and teachers are there, Arabs and Jews, working together. We are, as a union, of course, because we stand with the Palestinians, are being portrayed or announced or known in Israel as a union that stands with the Palestinians. It means that some groups of workers would prefer to go with the Eastern route, for example, because they are more right-wing, more with the government, and they would not like us. But we believe this is the future. We believe this is the way things should go forward.
Now, going forward, and you have gone forward, you've had many successes and many failures in the West Bank. Let's take a case study of one of your successes to find out how difficult it was to organize there. I'm talking about the garage that you were talking about previously. How that went and how you finally succeeded.
First of all, this is very important. We get to people and people contact us. This is the first, of course, if you want to organize, you must make the contact. And we got the contact because we were there, because we were active, because we did the Salit quarry back in 2009, 2011. We had a long strike there, and our name was around. So people contacted us from Tzafati Garage. It was 2013. They organized with us. There was a big pressure from the employer on the workers to give up joining the union. The workers stood up, were very courageous. Later on, there was an attempt to dismiss the leader of the workers, Hatem Abu Ziyadeh, who was very central in the organizing attempt there. We made a strike, we made a court case against the dismissal. They charged him with sabotaging a military vehicle that was in the garage, Gaza War 2014. It was a very serious charge, and using this charge against him, they dismissed him. We fought against it, a long fight, legal fight and public fight. This person, Hatem, was amazing in his commitment to stay on the job, to not to give up, because the bosses sent him letters, messages, why don't you take compensation and leave us? He said, no, I want to go back. And we got 2016, we got a very important Israel Labor Court decision that reinstated him in the job and obliged the employer to pay him the 21 months out of the job, to pay him as if he was working, saying that all this charge was really something that unbased, has nothing to do with the fact that he was against making any offense. A year later, we were able to reach a collective agreement with the garage, and we are still, February 2017, we are now 2.5 years leading some kind of connection and working together with the bosses there. The workers got their salaries better and the compensation for past payments that were not made properly. So we were able there to open the road for other places, which came later. I mentioned before the laundry and another factory that we are going forward towards organizing, another one that we just started the dispute 2 days ago in this area. So we are now approached by many, many workers using Facebook in a way to reach people very effectively, because everybody with a smartphone can relate to us, write to us. So it creates a lot of discussion in the area.
And you were mentioning the Israeli courts, and I understand that it was 2007 the Supreme Court in Israel decided that Israeli labor law does apply in these cases. But in what sense do the employers recognize this at all, or is everything a fight?
We have in the report that we just published extensive discussion of this question, because, of course, it's not automatic. The law is changed. The employers should abide by the law. They just behave as if it never happened until the workers come and say, well, this is what I have according to the law. Some workers went to court, and when the court takes a ruling, the ruling is according to the Supreme Court, very important decision, as you mentioned, 2007. But there's one thing that I want to mention here, is that the court in 2007 related to the question of labor rights in terms of how much money do you get, what social rights you have, but didn't specify the question of organizing or the collective agreement law. The court didn't relate to it. When we started to organize in 2009, we just said we are trying to use this, not to ask anybody. And the bosses in the beginning said, no, you, who are you? You are actually an organization that wants to destroy the settlements. You don't come here to organize. You have no right to organize. We have forced upon the employers through labor court and through strikes and through the standing of the workers to recognize us as a union and to recognize the right of the workers to organize, and it is now a deal done. Now, when we approach the employer, they must approach us and must deal with us. If they don't want to deal with us, we announce a dispute, we announce a strike, we go to labor court. They know that what happened to Tsarfati Garage, when they tried to dismiss the worker and failed to do it and were criticized sharply by the labor court, they know that if they try to do the same thing, this will be the solution. So we are in a very strong situation in front of the employers.
I'm interested in the view of Wakman as seeing the organization of workers as a mechanism to accomplish and to reestablish the presence, the self-determination, the empowerment of the Palestinian people as well. So do you see unions as having that kind of purpose?
Absolutely. This is something that we take very serious. For example, one of the issues that we see now as very urgent, workers and unions should be leading in the struggle against the climate crisis and to change our governments and how our institutions looking at the future economy. When we present economic options, we take in consideration very seriously the question of the climate crisis, the question of changing into renewable energies. And this is something that we think and we are working on. We have projects with women, we have projects together with green organizations and green movements in order to work together to educate and to fight. We think this is a kind of a coalition of forces, a red-green coalition in some way, that Wakman is very seriously part of it. What we say in Israel is that you cannot be green or red seriously without taking into consideration the fact that next to you there are Palestinians who live under the occupation, under repression, with no human rights, with no possibility to develop their economy. If you want really to change the country, to make it more social, to make it more green, to make it more integrate yourself into the new world, you must be part of this kind of discussion, thinking that breaks the borders, that thinks of things in a universal way, and thinks of Palestinians and Israelis as one single unit that must find the ways to work together, to live together, to build our country together.
Thank you for spending so much time with us.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.com.